Not that they're biased. I don't think there's bias. I think there are certain media members nationally that we've just come to recognize usually have more favorable opinions about the Arizona Cardinals than others do. That doesn't mean they're wrong, doesn't mean they're right, doesn't mean that they've got friends in the organization. It's just kind of we've noticed over the years there are certain trends, right? Pete Prisco always seems to have nice things to say about the Arizona Cardinals. He's with CBSSports.com. You mentioned he's an ASU guy. We talked about that earlier. Your guy, your favorite, Adam Schein, has always taken a shine to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, your Arizona Cardinals.
There's another one in there where it's like he just gives us a 20-second intro of Steve Keim, and it makes it sound like he...
The outstanding general manager of your Arizona Cardinals, the great Steve Keim.
All right, you wonder how people talk like that to get a job.
On second thought, maybe there is a little bit of bias with Adam Schein.
There could be.
Maybe there's just a wee bit of bias in there.
Yeah.
Another one that we've just noticed throughout the years always seems to have a favorable impression of the Arizona Cardinals is Peter Schrager of the NFL Network.
Does always speak very highly of the Cardinals.
He does.
Yeah.
He speaks very highly of the Cardinals. He and on his show, which by the way, I got to tell you, in prepping for the show every morning, even when it's not football season, I do find that Good Morning Football show is really fun to watch. That's a really good sports morning show on TV. Even though it's not football season, I like the personalities on that show, and I like the bits the they come up with.
Sure. I can watch that show, too, except for him. Peter Schrager. I can't watch him.
Okay.
I can't.
Should I play the soundbite from him then? The one in which he says nice things about the Cardinals?
No, like the other people on the show, the former wide receiver.
Nate Burleson.
Nate Burleson's great. The other guy with like the short blonde hair.
Kyle Brandt.
He does a good job.
Yeah, Kyle Brandt.
Even the host, the girl.
Kay short black Adams.
Hair, she does a great job. Yeah. I can't listen to that guy, Schrager.
Just drives you nuts?
I can't listen to him.
Well, you're going to have to listen to him now because for 36 seconds, he says something really, really nice about the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, go ahead.
Something surprisingly nice about the Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals are going to be the hottest offseason destination for free agents this offseason. Kyler Murray is a young quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury is a player-friendly coach. The environment, you're living in the sun, and they've got a ton of money to spend. They're young. Cliff is not trying to be a dictator. Let's just have my way or the highway. He's showing that you could be nice to the players, and the veterans can experience both fun and have possible success. Cool new offense. Arizona Cardinals, not the Chiefs, not the 49ers. Arizona Cardinals will be the hot spot. Not the Vegas Raiders for a lot of free agents this offseason.
Before I give a sign, do they have bags of money?
They got money?
All right, then, okay.
Okay. Whether you like him or not, the content of what he said, do we buy that? Are the Arizona Cardinals? Okay, why? Why do you think the Cardinals will be a destination spot this offseason?
A lot of things. Good place to live. Palm trees and sun, low cost of living in comparison to other places. Got a great young quarterback that people are going to want to play with. You've got an exciting offense to be a part of if you're an offensive player. You've got a coach that's cool and likable and that, you know, a lot of guys could probably relate to. With that being said, the Cardinals are not a team that's going to overspend on free agency. They're not. So it'll be a good destination for those middle tier guys that want to come here and play, you know, for a team that's on the rise and play for a coach that, you know, that's again, a good young quality coach in this league it's a good organization. It's great ownership with Michael Bidwell, great place to live, great stadium. There's a lot to like about here.
Yeah.
You don't hear people knock this organization very much that have played here. Remember in the old days when Lomas Brown would tell us that, man, I had to ask for an extra pair of socks and they charged me.
Yeah.
And I got my contract in the mail and it was minus $25 because they charged me for the FedEx package. And this is a good organization. You don't hear a lot of people rip this organization.
You know what? Lately you have heard
So, you know, Tyrann Mathieu hasn't always had the nicest things to say.
Well, they cut him.
I understand, but well, if we're just I'm just telling the truth here. Okay. He hasn't always had the nicest things to say. You know, Anquan Boldin continues to have kind of a, we think anyway, a fractured relationship with the organization because of how, you know, he perceived things went down. Terrell Suggs didn't have the nicest things to say, you know, at least questionable things to say about his time. So but that just might happen to every NFL team everywhere that ever cuts a guy, right? That just could be bad blood when you get cut by a team. But I do think the Cardinals have a good reputation around the league as a place to play, or at least I hope they do. I don't know. I think the Cardinals, first of all, your assessment of free agency is dead on. Their history, especially under Steve Keim, suggests that they are not going to go after a big free agent. That's not what they're about. That's not who they are. Upati is the only one that comes to mind where they went big splash free agent. Let's go sign a guy and give him a lot of money. Maybe there's one or two that I'm forgetting about, but I think for the most part, you look at free agency the last half decade under Steve Keim, and it's been mostly the middle tier guys. They're not going after those big fish. I think because Steve Keim really does believe and really does recognize that those contracts are not worth it signing those
guys. The reality is that, you know, when you do research on this stuff and you realize that two out of every three free agents that sign, that get paid more than just say like $5 or $6 million, those guys don't pan out.
Sure.
So two out of three. So the odds of you getting the guy that pan out are slim.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it's common knowledge around from NFL fans. But that's funny. People still get excited about it. The team that goes out and gives a whole bunch of money to, you know, whatever top free agent, this is
Kawan Alexander.
Yeah. Okay. Chris Jones. They're going to be thrilled. Oh, my God. So look what we got.
Sometimes they hit.
But most of the time, they don't. And most of the time, a lot of the time, 2 years later, fan bases are looking at, oh, God, how do we get out of that contract?
Right.
Oh, my God, all the cap space this guy's eating up, and he's injured or he's not performing well. That's usually the reality of free agency. I do agree with this, with getting back to what Schrager said. I think the Cardinals are a free agent destination. I think it's a place people are going to want to come for all the reasons that you and he both listed. But I don't think the Cardinals can get away with lowballing guys counting on how great it is to play here as a means to sign free. You still have to offer competitive contracts. And I think if you do, you will find that guys would like to play here as long as the money is about the same of what they'd make for Team X or Team Y or Team Z. But if you think you're going to pay a guy $5 million less because, oh, he's going to love coming to play for Arizona, we'll get this guy on the cheap. No way, man. That's not how it works.
Yeah, they want to pay their own guys, right? I mean, that's one of the key things. They want to pay their own guys. And that's when you start to look at Buda Baker and DJ Humphreys and maybe even a Kenyon Drake. So the priority, because you know those guys, right? You know them. You feel good about them. So that's the one thing. And then the second thing is you want to draft well. And then third is plug the holes with free agency. So that's like the third thing. So the Cardinals they're going to sign free agents. They are. But I don't think they're going to overspend on anybody. They're going to look to plug some holes, and they'll probably get three guys for the price of what one team may have paid for one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be their approach to it.
Because I think like anything else, that's whether it's the draft or whether it's at bats in baseball, the more you get, the more chances you have to succeed, right?
Yes.
I'm signing three free agents instead of one. I'm giving myself that many chances to hit on free agency than if I just sign one guy. Because if that guy misses, you're screwed. If you pay Adamican Sue $60 million guaranteed and he's just an okay player, you've screwed yourself. Because you're not going to be able to sign anybody else. You just got that one guy.
And you screw yourself twice. You screw yourself when he's not playing well for those first 2 or 3 years, and then you screw yourself when you get rid of him and you got all that dead money on your cap.
Yep.
So it burns you twice when you make a big mistake.
Yep.
Because you're paying a guy all this money, you can't get other players because he's getting all this money, and you tend to hang on to him for an extra year or so longer because you made this big investment in him and you want to see if it works out. And then when it doesn't work out, then you finally bite the bullet and you say, okay, we're going to get rid of this guy, and you're stuck with dead cap money for a year or two.
I saw you peek a glance, so I'm going to just go ahead and let everyone know Arizona is up 1-0 over the Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
now. I'm not sure how they scored.
Dvorak.
Was it Dvorak?
Dvorak with,
yeah.
With a rebound goal. Yep. All right, so it's Arizona 1-0. The Coyotes up over Toronto in a game that's just underway now from Toronto.
The GCU Lopes return to Brazil Field for their baseball home opener Friday, 6 o'clock against Oklahoma State. Tickets are on sale now, but if you want to win a family four-pack, head to the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com. Devin Booker has been through a lot over the last couple of weeks. Is all of that starting to wear on him? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Suns are off tonight. There is one more game before the All-Star break, and it's tomorrow against Golden State at home. We'll actually be down there at Talking Stick Resort Arena. We'll make an appearance on the Fox Sports Arizona pregame show with Tom Leander and Tom Chambers. They'll make an appearance on our show. I'm sure Tom Chambers will find something to rip you about. He always does.
They always do. Tom's on. Yeah, Stone, Chambers. All these guys like to take Gonzo. They all like to take their shots.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Because I take shots at them, too.
You think that's what it is?
Probably.
Sarah's nodding her head in there.
Maybe shots by taking the Doan.
Yes, all the time.
I have nothing negative to say about Chambers.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have anything negative to say about Tom. I like Tom. He's a good guy.
Are you sure?
I think so.
I thought you ripped him the last time.
Did I?
Oh, I thought so.
You can't even keep track.
Yeah, you ripped so many people. I seriously can't keep track. Anyway, we'll be down there tomorrow.
So when I retire, I'm going to do my top 10 list of people I hated the most.
Why wait until you retire?
Well, because he's working with one of them right now.
Oh, stop. That's not true.
Yeah, it's me. It's okay.
Don't say that about Jordan.
He's sharing his... Oh, wow.
Really?
Release the list now. I bet I could guess seven of them. I bet I could guess seven of the 10 if I wanted to. It wouldn't be that hard. It really wouldn't be. I, you know what? I'm giving myself. I could go 7 or 8 if I needed
to.
Wow. Yeah, okay. I could. If this were Family Feud, I'd clean up. Right?
Oh, gosh.
If this were,
it would never get back to the other person.
If this were a category on Family Feud, my family would dominate on the top 10 people Gambo doesn't like. I'd
Richard,
be like,
Richard, I'll say
America
blank.
Says. America
yes.
says.
Yeah,
and
for the win.
I'd kick butt on that. I'd kick butt. This team, it's funny to say this because I was so impressed with what the Suns did over this weekend, and I think you were too, in just throttling the Rockets, then really a competitive loss against Denver. But after last night's loss to the LA Lakers, it's pretty obvious this team could really use an All-Star break. This team could use a little vacation.
How about a healthy body?
From basketball.
Can they use a healthy? Can we get a healthy body?
It'd be nice.
I mean, anybody I gave. Healthy body would be nice.
But you know, how about
two?
A healthy body and lets everybody know when the bus leaves. You know?
Sure.
Is that asking too much? Here's what time the bus leaves. If you're 5 minutes early, you're late. We'll go with the old Tom Coughlin rule, right? If you're 5 minutes early, you're late. Because this is when the bus... Because last night, and for all of the bodies they were missing last night, no DeAndre Ayton, all the injuries that we've become accustomed to now. I mean, I can't even tell you the last time Frank Kaminsky played in a basketball game. Aaron Baines... The discussion about whether to bring Aaron Baines back, I don't even know if that's a discussion worth having with all the injuries that he's dealing with. But through all of that, they actually competed decently for a while against the LA Lakers. But all that being said, the Suns could use a break. The Suns could use a little time off for Ayton's physical health, for the team's physical health. They could use a break. Devin Booker could use a break, too. And you asked the question earlier in the show, based off of some of his recent performances in the last couple of weeks, is he wearing down? Is he getting tired?
I mean, it's looked like it. And it might just be maybe an All-Star break is just what the doctor ordered. But Devin Booker is a very consistent player. He's a very, very good player in this league. Not a superstar, but I would say a great player. I mean, almost made the All-Star team. Should have made the All-Star team. He got snubbed. He's one of the 44 invitees for the U.S. Olympic team to play in Tokyo. So, you know, he's a very good to great player. Devin Booker is not an inconsistent player. He's not a... I'm going to have a great game and then a bad game and then a good game and then a bad game and then a great game and then a bad game. But that's what he's done these last six games. He's had three really bad games where he didn't shoot the ball very well.
And that doesn't happen. And I went back and I looked at his numbers today. If you go back to January, all of the games they played in January, he had one game where he didn't shoot the ball well. Shot 25% against Charlotte. One. Everything else was 40 and above. He's had three really subpar games this month. And, you know, last night against the Lakers and Danny Green, that, you know, that was obviously, you know, one of them. He had another really rough night against Denver. We're just not used. I'm not used to seeing him have three bad games in a six game stretch because that's just usually not who Booker is.
Right. So is it fatigue? Is it that he's getting worn down? Because most nights, I mean, with all of the injuries, it's a little better with Oubre, and certainly it's better when Oubre and Rubio and Ayton are on the floor. He doesn't have to do as much of the heavy lifting, but with Ayton's, you know, between the suspension and the injuries, his availability has been a question mark. Oubre's been fairly constant. Rubio, for the most part, has been fairly constant. But Devin Booker's had to put in a lot of work. And Devin Booker gets the attention of a lot of defenses out there and double teams and the best defenders. But as you pointed out earlier, he usually rises above that. He usually finds a way to score even when he's getting all. Look, I don't know. I don't know if he's, is he tired? Is he still bothered by the All-Star snub? Is that affecting his play at all? Is the Kobe death still weighing on him? He was very, you heard what
Monty Williams.
It was James Jones yesterday too.
Oh, it was James, yeah.
Said that Kobe was like family to him. Is that weighing on him harder than other NBA players?
None of us will ever know. I mean, it looks like he's not playing very well. And it could be wearing down. It could be just, you know, you start to look ahead. You know, like sometimes you look ahead to a 3-day weekend, or sometimes you start to look ahead to a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's All-Star break coming up. I mean, it's been a long season, right? I mean, it's been a long season so far, and it's been a lot of ups and downs and highs and lows. And you mentioned, you know, not making the All-Star game and the Kobe death. Maybe you're just trying to get to that All-Star break.
Maybe.
And trying to get to the All-Star break, recharge, take some days off, and then come back strong.
Yesterday on Newsmakers Week, James Jones was a guest, Doug and Wolf, and the two things that I mentioned a second ago. The death of Kobe Bryant, James says Book is still processing that.
I'm pretty sure he's still processing it. You know, anytime you lose a family member, because that's who Kobe was to him, was a family member, it's hard. But, you know, he's honoring him by playing the game that he loves the way Kobe would have wanted him to, and the way he taught him, which is, you know, to be relentless. Mm-hmm. You know, once you step on the court, you know, you put everything to the side and you just become relentless and you perform for your team.
And as far as the All-Star snub, James said yesterday he thinks that's going to stay with Book, in his words, forever.
I think it'll be with him forever. You know, that's the type of player he is. You know, he's extremely prideful, but he's also extremely confident. And he knows deep down inside that he is an All-Star and he should be there. But that's out of his control.
Look, and if we're having a conversation about Devin Booker, I think the other thing you have to consider, too, is that over the last 2 years, due to a variety of injuries, he hasn't played more than 64 games in a season.
You said that earlier, and you know what? It's a pretty good point. And you kind of compared it to, you know, a player coming in from college, and all of a sudden you're playing in a college basketball season compared to an NBA season, or a college football season compared to an NFL season. Playing more games.
Yep. You hit a wall at some point.
You hit a wall.
And Devin Booker should know physically how to work past that wall, but I do wonder. 64 games a year ago, 54, I think, the year before that. He's already played in 51 of the Suns' 54 games they've played in this season. I do wonder if, given the games that he's missed over the last couple of years, if he's starting to hit a little bit of a wall that he's going to have to fight through for the remaining 30-some-odd games of the season, 20-some-odd games of the season. I don't know. Again, we're just spitballing ideas.
So when's their next game? Jordan, you know when their next tomorrow. Game is? No, after tomorrow.
Oh.
Because he'll get
Friday the 21st.
So he gets, that's a long time off.
10 days off.
That's a, okay.
Ten days off.
Yeah. He might be on a banana boat in the Bahamas with, like, you know, Carl Anthony Towns with D'Angelo Russell.
With all the other guys who didn't make the All-Star game. Now,
is there any chance we see him on a banana boat with Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell?
That's a negative ghostwriter.
Okay.
I don't think there's a chance.
I'm gonna jump ahead of this. Are we going to see a photo of Devin Booker with Carl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell over the next 10 days?
Wasn't there a photo a few years ago where the three of them were on a boat somewhere? They were on a banana boat.
Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
He was wearing like
D'Angelo. That was only like
jersey.
A year or two ago.
Yeah. Last year.
But was it during the All-Star break? I don't think it was during
I'm not sure about that.
But to Gambo's point, Will we see a picture of Carl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell,
and how will we react
during the all? Well, I can tell you how we're going to react. I can tell you how some people are going to react. Some people are going to go, see? Relax.
Devin's with D'Angelo and Carl.
They're
probably making plans right now.
They're plotting their reunion. They're trying to figure out how Devin can get to Minnesota. Relax. I think
we'll trade you Kevin Garnett.
I
know he's retired, but we'll give you him for Devin Booker.
I think there's a 1 in 3 chance we will see that picture. I really do. I mean, it's not 50-50, but I think there's a 1 in 3 chance we will see a picture of those three guys together because none of them are going, right?
And if you don't see a picture, is it like, maybe they're not as great? Like,
well, I don't know.
Do you react either way if there's a picture, if there's not a picture?
Did you see what, did you see what Carl Anthony Towns said last night about D'Angelo Russell? Because D'Angelo Russell played his first game for the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. And I'm just finding the quote. Give me just a second here because the quote. Here you go. Quote, "That's my brother. I told him I don't know if he'll ever have a teammate that loves him as much as I do, that has his back more than I do. I'd die for that man, and I know he would do the same for me." Close quote.
They just need Earl Watson coaching that team. That's all they need. Wow.
I think there's a 1 in 3 chance we'll see a picture of him.
Right.
Yep.
On a banana boat at Atlantis.
On a beach somewhere. Here in Arizona, we're feeling pretty good about the offseason the Diamondbacks have put together. How do their moves compare with what the rest of baseball did this winter? Well, we'll tell you how well next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
I want Diamondback fans to know that we have put every ounce of the last 4 months into improving our roster top to bottom. Starting pitching, bullpen, position players, that no matter what happens in our division, no matter what else is being done around the league in terms of clubs improving themselves, and there's been a lot of that in the National League, it's not going to stop us.
I don't know how you wouldn't believe that if you're a Diamondback fan.
Yeah, you have to believe it. They have. I mean,
I don't know how you'd argue the counter to that. You know, I don't. Maybe I'm just blinded by the job that I think Mike Hazen did this offseason. I don't know how you'd argue the opposite of that.
You know, we've looked at the Diamondbacks and are they buyers or sellers? And they're always both. Like, they are. Like, they're not completely selling off and rebuilding and they're not completely buying and they'll let guys go. Well, they'll let plenty of guys go. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, Zach Greinke got let go. This year they didn't bring back Taijuan Walker and Steven Souza. They'll let guys go. I mean, if they don't feel like they're in the plans but then they'll buy too. So I remember last year at the trade deadline when I was, after I'd done my research and talked to some people and you asked me, are they buyers or sellers? I said, well, they're both. They're going to buy and sell.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're going to do.
That's what they did.
Which way are you all in or are you all out? And they're not. They're not all in or they're all out. We're going to get rid of players that we don't see as a part of our future that are good players, and we're going to add players that we think can be a part of our future.
Well, I mean, just look at what they did at the deadline. Okay, they traded Zach Greinke. That's the move that a seller makes. They traded their number one prospect in the system to acquire a starting pitcher who is a lot closer to being big league ready. That's a move a buyer makes. They were both. They traded Zach Greinke to the Astros. They traded Jazz Chisholm to the Miami Marlins for Zach Gallen. That's what buyers and sellers do. That's right. Exactly what it looks like. But to the point of Mike Hazen, who, that was the general manager of the Diamondbacks, he was on this morning with Doug and Wolf as part of their Newsmakers Week. And don't forget tomorrow on Newsmakers Week, another great round of interviews in studio with Doug and Wolf, highlighted by Michael Bidwell, the president of the Arizona Cardinals. That should be an interesting conversation, obviously, given everything that's going on with that organization. But when Mike was on this morning with Doug and Wolf talking about the state of the Diamondbacks, says, yeah, we think we're better than we were last year.
We understand where we are right now. We understand where we hope to be in the future with regard to having a consistent winner year over year. I don't know exactly where we are in that cycle. I do think we're better than where we left the season at the end of the year last year. Mm-hmm. That makes me extremely confident and feel good about where we're heading into the season. And I hope it's a very exciting, long, positive run of baseball that culminates with us telling a story at the end of the year. And that story being something that we can all be proud of.
What makes this so tough for the organization and for Mike and for everybody who likes the Arizona Diamondbacks that they're in the same division as the LA Dodgers. And so everything the D-backs have done pales in comparison to what they are. And those are comparisons that Mike's going to have to live with. Those are comparisons that Diamondback fans are going to have to live with. That's what we're going to have to deal with this entire season. The LA Dodgers are a juggernaut of a baseball team. And no matter what the Arizona Diamondbacks did this offseason, I love every move they did. It all pales in comparison to how good the LA Dodgers are. And that's unfortunately the lens that we kind of have to look at all this through. That's life.
You know, would you rather be in the AL East or the NL West? Probably the NL West.
Probably the NL West.
Because there's two dominant teams. It's like if you're in the AL West, I got a shot. You're in the AL Central, you got a shot. You're in the NL Central or the NL East, you got a shot. It is tough to be in the NL West or the AL East.
Yes.
It's tough.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just looking at the AL East. I mean, Toronto won the division in 2015, and then Tampa won it in 2010. But in the last 10 years, Yankees, Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox, Yankees, Yankees. Like, it's difficult to win these divisions. We know the Dodgers have won it 7 years in a row.
Yep.
So it is. It's hard when you're in a team... in with a team that can spend that type of money and can make mistakes. And that's the biggest thing, right? They can make mistakes and they can survive those mistakes, and you can't.
Right.
You can't make a mistake and survive it. It's difficult. It's difficult to compete with those teams.
Yeah.
And that's just reality. But it doesn't mean that you can't win, because you're just not going to win seven division titles in a row,
yeah,
like they did.
And that's why you forwarded me an email today, a link to a story on The Athletic in which they ranked everybody's off season, right? Who had the best offseason? And the Diamondbacks checked in with the seventh best offseason. And in the write-up, they said what everybody's thinking. Basically what everybody around baseball thinks about the Arizona Diamondbacks. Man, Mike Hazen had a really good offseason. I mean, the Madison Bumgarner acquisition was a stroke of luck / genius. Cole Calhoun, good pickup. The relievers they got, good pickup. The Starling Marte acquisition, good job there. I mean, he had a great offseason, but as they point out in the piece, it, when compared to the Dodgers, did they do enough to win the division, to be the, not even close? And that's the sad reality of it, is that on paper, they are not. You were telling me, well, you stunned us all earlier when you were quoting a highly analytical website in their PECOTA projections,
yeah,
for win-loss records. They didn't have the Diamondbacks anywhere near the LA Dodgers.
No.
They had the Dodgers, what, 103?
102.5.
102.5 wins. They had the Diamondbacks at 79. Now, I think the Diamondbacks are going to win more than 79 games. But a highly analytical website is basically looking at everything the Diamondbacks did this offseason and going, yeah, so look at LA. And that's, unfortunately, these moves that Hazen and his crew made, they don't occur in a vacuum. They're, you have to judge them next to the Dodgers, and that's the bad part for Diamondbacks fan, is that the Dodgers just look better.
The best way to look at it is the Diamondbacks needed to get a right fielder, and they needed to get a center fielder, and they needed to get a starting pitcher, and they needed to get bullpen help, and the Dodgers just needed to get Mookie Betts. The Diamondbacks needed to go do 5 or 6 things to be competitive. The Dodgers already were.
Right.
They were set. They didn't have to do a damn thing.
They had everything locked and loaded.
The move they made wasn't to be competitive. It was to win a damn World Series.
Yep.
And that's just the difference. The Diamondbacks needed 2 outfielders. They needed a starting pitcher. They needed bullpen guys.
But that doesn't mean the Diamondbacks had a bad offseason.
No, they had a great offseason.
They had a great offseason. A fantastic offseason.
I mean, you hope to go into every offseason and say, well, where are we? Well, you set at first base, you set at second, you set at short, you set at third. Now, maybe next year, because of what they did with the Ahmed contract, the Escobar contract, that they'll be set at, and Marte's at second, catcher, you set at catcher, you set at second, you set at short, you set at third. You've got your right fielder, you've got your center fielder, you got your left fielder. So the only position I think next year you may go into and say, okay, let's upgrade is first base. Because everybody else is under contract. Like, everybody else is pretty set.
Yes.
So I think next year will be a year where this team's, you know, you're not going to be looking to bring in 5 or 6 new players. Now, maybe you get another bullpen arm, or maybe you get a starting pitcher if you lose Robbie Ray. But you know what I'm saying about,
I know exactly
about
what you're
all
saying.
The other positions being set.
Yeah. The Supercuts, the official hairstylist of Major League Baseball. The 2020 season is right around the corner, and they are giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to the first day game of the season for the D-backs Wednesday, April 1st against San Francisco. Text the word cut to 620-620 to enter. Once he came to the Cardinals, Kenyon Drake had his most productive stretch, really, of his career. So why is one prominent NFL writer suggesting the Cardinals should walk away from Kenyon Drake? You know the answer, but we'll tell you why anyway next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Now that everybody's had time to sit and process Kenyon Drake's hashtag new profile pic.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Stop.
He's wearing, he's wearing a Cardinals beanie and a Cardinals jersey in his new profile pic. What does it mean? Does he want to come back to the Cardinals? Does he know he's coming back to the Cardinals? Is he? Who knows? This time a week ago, 2 weeks ago, we were debating what Tom Brady's Twitter post meant.
We really didn't go that deep. We talked about it a little bit.
I mean, I'm not going to.
Yeah, because it came up during the show.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted it out
during the show.
Right.
Yeah, and I showed it to you. I'm like, man, Twitter's blowing up on this. Everyone wants to know what this means. So, yeah, we took the bait, and it was a Hulu commercial.
Right.
Right? It was a Super Bowl ad. That's all it was. So, I don't know why Kenyon Drake changed his profile pic, and I don't care. I'm more interested in the debate about where is the financial line in the sand to draw when it comes to re-signing Kenyon Drake. Because Bill Barnwell, longtime NFL writer, who he does this every year, and I knew it was coming, I just didn't know when. He takes a look at every division, and then he asks five off-season questions for each team in each division. Or five, here's what you need to do to have a successful off-season. And he started with the NFC West, so we got to see his suggestions on the Cardinals, man, right out of the chute, right? Here's five off-season moves for the Arizona Cardinals. Number one on the list, let Kenyon Drake go. Let him go.
The only thing about that is I think that there is a real good chance that the market fixes itself with these whatever demands Kenyon Drake may have. I believe he wants to get paid by an elite running back. I don't think he will. I think the market will fix itself on that. I think the market will show that he's not going to get elite running back money.
Is he going to get $7 million? Because I don't know if that's elite running back money. I know what you're talking about when you say elite running back money. You're talking about David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott type money. I know he's not going to get that. Is he going to get $7 million,
though? I say a fair range for him. Low is five, high is seven. I think anything over eight, I would be surprised if he got that. I mean, I would. You've said it over and over again, man. It's just too many mistakes that are made on running backs. What, Devontae Freeman? How much did he get paid?
According to reports, he's going to get cut by the Atlanta Falcons. It would be a $6 million dead cap hit, but it would save them $3.5 million if they cut him this year. Obviously, the financial ramifications are much less for him than they are for David Johnson if the Cardinals cut him.
Signed a five-year deal for $41 million, and you know what? Didn't play.
No, he was hurt.
He was hurt the whole time. Yeah, he got $15 million signing bonus and $22 guaranteed. Like, you're not like, that was a mistake. That ends up being a huge mistake. $22 million guaranteed. The guy's been hurt the whole time.
Yeah. Barnwell's suggestion for Kenyon Drake is, in his opinion, Drake did enough to earn something in the range of about $5 million. Barnwell is assuming that the Cardinals are not going to be able to trade David Johnson. Now, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but he's assuming that they won't. So he's assuming that by not being able to trade David Johnson, if you give Kenyon Drake $5 million, you're committing about $17 million to running backs in 2020, and he thinks that's a really bad idea. He's like, no team last year committed more than $16 million to running backs total, and now the Cardinals want to go to 17. He goes, I just don't think that's a good idea.
Way to allocate your money.
It's really not. He said, look, here's exactly what he writes. If the price tag drops and the Cardinals can re-sign Drake on a one-year deal in the $3.5 million range, then I'm all for it.
That's not going to happen either. He proved some value. He proved that he has some value.
Going back to my original point, Barnwell's drawing his own line in the sand. And for him, $3.5 million. That's where he's drawing the line. I wouldn't go past. Now, I would draw the line probably closer to five. I think you would draw the line at
six? Six, seven? Six to six and a half. I'd probably not. Seven's the high end. I might think about it, but I'd want to keep him in the six to six and a half range.
But I tell you, and you know I've been leaning this way. If you're going to give me a choice of keeping Kenyon Drake or not keeping Kenyon Drake, I'm probably at this point more inclined to not keep him. I'm just not a believer in this running back thing. Not.
But it's not because of him.
No, it has nothing to do with him.
You're basing it on the overall failure of so many running back contracts.
100% accurate.
And you continue to reference that there were two running backs in the Super Bowl that went undrafted.
100% correct.
So you can find them anywhere.
It's nothing personal against Kenyon Drake. Nothing at all. He was great. He was terrific. He was, but I have a suspicion that you can find somebody out there who will do what Kenyon Drake did for you at a fraction of the cost of keeping Kenyon Drake. I think people are afraid that they can't, or they're afraid that they caught lightning in a bottle with Kenyon Drake, and he's the only one he can do what Kenyon Drake did in the offense. I don't believe that for a New York minute.
Yeah.
There are others out there at less the cost who can do what Kenyon. That's what I believe.
But you're not going to bank. You're not going to bank on a sixth or seventh round pick or an undrafted free agent. If they traded David Johnson and they didn't bring back Kenyon Drake and they have Chase Edmonds here, they're going to go sign a veteran running back.
100% agree.
They will sign a veteran running back.
But that guy, you'd probably be able to get for $3.5 million.
Yeah. So that's the difference. Do you want that guy for $3 million or do you want Drake for six? Now, part of it could be like, you know what, man, if I can take that extra $3 million and I can put that into a defensive lineman, mm-hmm, or a linebacker, mm-hmm, I mean, I can address some needs.
You're making my case for me, my friend.
Well, listen, I'm not...
I don't even have to do the heavy lifting today. You're doing the heavy lifting for me.
I don't totally disagree with you. I just think there is a number. I'm not going $8 million on Drake, and I probably wouldn't want to go to seven. I'd probably want to be in the five to six range, and I might think about six and a half. He's a good football player. He was a great player at Alabama. He doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on him, right? Like some of these running backs. He doesn't have the wear and tear. No. So from that perspective, I can make an argument that he's probably worth keeping. I don't want to do a long-term deal either.
I'm fascinated to see what the trade market is like for David Johnson. Is there one? Can they trade him? Barnwell doesn't think they're going to be. He thinks there's too much negative value to be able to trade David Johnson. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure they wouldn't be able to pawn him off on somebody who would look at him as a reclamation project, knowing the Cardinals are going to eat some of that salary.
I just wonder if this turns into a Josh Rosen situation at the draft. We're going to keep him. We'll just keep him. We're just going to keep him. And all along, it's like, we got to get rid of this guy.
Well,
no, I do. Remember with Rosen?
Oh, of course. No,
you know what? If nobody gives us what he wants, we'll just keep him. He'll be the backup, yeah, and they'll battle it out. And that was never what they wanted, but they wanted to put that message out there so that way it scared some teams off. I wonder if it's going to be the same thing with David Johnson. If we can't get a decent deal, we'll just keep him.
And that's a great question. And one of the answers leads to the possibility of, would they really actually cut him? I don't think they would.
I'm going to say no. There's no value in cutting him.
But if it comes to the point where they play that Rosen game, like you were just talking about a second ago, and there are absolutely no takers for David Johnson, would they consider it?
But why? What's the benefit? What's the benefit? He said, you're not gaining any money.
No. No, you're not.
He might as well just be. I'd rather him as the third string running back because he still is a terrific weapon out of the backfield as a pass catcher.
You're just getting him out of your running back's room, I guess, in fear that he would do some damage in there, although I don't think David Johnson is that kind of guy. I don't think David Johnson would cause damage in any kind of room. I don't think he would be a negative influence on other players if he were kept around. There really is no benefit to cutting. It's a $16 million dead cap hit if you cut him. It's time for the Coors Light. What's on tonight? The games that we're going to watch this evening. There is one game and one game only involving a local team that we're going to watch tonight. That's the Coyotes taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I believe they are in the first intermission. And it is 1-1. It's 1-1. The Coyotes taking on Toronto. We'll watch that game tonight. No Suns basketball. They're back in action tomorrow. Reminder, tomorrow we're going to be at Talking Stick Resort Arena inside the Casino Arizona Pavilion. The Suns and the Golden State Warriors. Final game before the All-Star break. We will talk to Tom and Tom, Tom Leander, Tom Chambers on our show, and then we'll be on the Fox Sports Arizona pregame show as well, usually about 6:45 or so. And look at that, once again, pacing the halls nervously, ready to just...
God, they'll let anybody do a radio show.
Flamethrower on the Valley. Man. Tim Ring, Hot Take City, coming in 3-2-1.
Somebody's got to do it.
I guess so. Tim Ring in a full edition of the Rundown is next here. And, of course, more Newsmakers Week tomorrow with Doug and Wolf. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Talkie Stick Resort Arena right here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a good night, everyone.